welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimek, and I'm excited to be here today. Now, I have to tell you, today is going to be challenging. I alluded to this last week. Depending on your location, which diocese you're a part of, you're either going to be celebrating this weekend the ascension of Jesus into heaven or the seventh Sunday of Easter. As it turns out, the vast majority of dioceses in the United States are transferring Ascension Thursday to this weekend so that the seventh Sunday of Easter is replaced by the solemnity of the Ascension. However, in some of the locations where this show airs, you know, you might be listening to it in podcast format, but I also send the show out to several Catholic radio stations around the country. In some of the dioceses where this program airs over the air, the Ascension is going to remain on Thursday, and instead the seventh Sunday of Easter is celebrated. So with that in mind, I'm going to try to make everybody happy and try to include all of the readings. But here's what we'll do. Since most dioceses are going to celebrate the Ascension, I'm going to start with all of the readings for the Ascension, the solemnity of the Ascension. And then I'm going to go back and at least read the gospel for the seventh Sunday of Easter. So I'm not sure I can get in all the readings, but I really want to make sure that wherever you are located, I'm addressing the readings that you're going to be hearing during this weekend. All right, sound good? Sound like a plan? Pretty ambitious, right? We're going to see if old Gary can pull this off. Anyway, welcome. Relax. You can relax. You don't have to worry about pulling it off. I'm the guy who has to try to make sure that it all comes together. But you know what? With the help of the Holy Spirit, I am confident that this show is going to come about and fall into place exactly how it's supposed to fall into place. But with that in mind, I don't have a lot of time today because I have to get so much in. So why don't we just turn to our Father in heaven? I'm going to certainly ask for help today as we draw near the end of the Easter season. You know, we're just about at the end now. Next Sunday, no matter where you are, next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. So we are going to officially conclude the Easter season next week and then head back into ordinary time. And, you know, I've said this so many times, it's hard to believe that we are at the end of the Easter season. I remember when we were before Lent and I said, well, hard to believe, but Lent's going to be here. And then we went all the way through Lent. Now we've made it most of the way through the Easter season. But this is good because at the tail end of the Easter season, we focus on two things. We still focus on the resurrection of Jesus, but the church directs us to really concentrate on his ascension into heaven and the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. So we're sort of forward-looking to those two big events. So with all of that in mind, let's turn to our Father in heaven and pray. If you'll join me, I'll lead. You'll pray along with me. Let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for being here with us. We're very grateful, Father, to be in your presence. We're grateful for the fact that you created us, that you adopted us, that you continue to provide for all of our needs, that you sent Jesus into the world, that ultimately you will send us the Holy Spirit. Even though we have already received the Holy Spirit in baptism and confirmation, we still, as we begin to draw closer to the celebration of Pentecost Sunday, we better appreciate, or we attempt to better appreciate, what the Holy Spirit does for us. And this includes asking for an increase or a reawakening of the Holy Spirit in us. So we will do that, Father. In fact, let's do that now. We pray for the Holy Spirit to really come alive in us. We pray for, lift up all of our needs, our own personal needs, the needs of our family and friends, those people who we may know who have asked us to pray for them. We pray for our church. We pray for our Holy Father, Pope Leo XIV. We pray for all the souls in purgatory. We pray for all who are sick. We pray for those who are really struggling to find you, Father, to find meaning in their lives. We pray for anybody who is battling mental illness or any sort of anxiety disorder. We pray for those who are struggling with addictions. We pray for those who are homeless or homebound or maybe confined to a hospital, a nursing home, a prison, a rehab facility. We pray for all those who are looking for work. And we pray, Father, for all of us for a better understanding of your will, a better understanding and a better desire to do your will in our daily lives. Father, I ask that you use me as your instrument today. Please allow me to deliver the message that you want me to deliver. And please open up all of our minds and all of our hearts so that we would be able to understand what you're trying to tell us today through these readings, and then be willing to go out and put it into practice in our lives. Father, we ask these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Thank you for praying with me. Hey, one quick thing before we begin the readings. Let me take a quick sip of my water here. Of course, as I'm beginning to give you the one quick thing, I felt a little tickle in my throat, so I had to take a sip of my water. Lord Save Me, that's going to be my next book. That will be coming out in early August. I think August the 8th is the official date. You can now pre-order the book. And if you want to see how to do that, if you want to do that, the easiest thing to do is go to my website, followingthetruth.com. I'll be speaking more about it as we get closer to the release date. But essentially, it's a book for those who need the Lord to be real to them. You know, it's very easy when things are going smoothly in our lives to say our prayers, to acknowledge Jesus is real and that he's performed miracles and that he'll help us if we need it. But when we're really in the midst of a crisis or some sort of a serious dilemma, that's when we need him to be truly real to us. All right? Now, if you've been there, maybe you're there now, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That's why I wrote this book. It's a book of scripture passages and prayers for anyone who is struggling to find the real presence of the Lord in their lives. So followingthetruth.com is my website. You can find out more about it there. You can pre-order it now, either from Amazon or Ave Maria Press, wherever you prefer. And I'm excited to start talking more about it. I will do that while you're at the website, followingthetruth.com. You can also find out how to bring me in as a speaker to your parish, to your conference. Give up worry for Lent. It's my most popular topic. I have plenty of openings in 2026, so I would love to come out and to speak to your parish or your conference. Followingthetruth.com is the place. Okay, let's get right on with these readings. Let's focus, as I said, first on the readings for the Ascension of Jesus, and then I'll work in some of the readings for the seventh Sunday of Easter. As we do each week, we're going to start with the Gospel, and then we'll back up and let the other readings supplement the Gospel. Okay, here we go. The Gospel for the Ascension, Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 20. Jesus said to his disciples, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the Gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." Now, I'm going to just stop it here. The gospel's not done yet, but I really want to make the point that when Jesus is talking about picking up serpents and drinking deadly things, he is not speaking literally here. So, you know, there are some churches, people have died drinking poison and handling poisonous snakes. He's not speaking literally here. And that's all I'm going to say. There's an overall message here. What Jesus is doing is sending his disciples out into the world to proclaim the gospel. And then continuing from that point, "So then the Lord Jesus, after he spoke to them, was taken up into heaven and took his seat at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word through accompanying signs." We as Christians are commissioned to go out there and continue the work of Jesus. You know, Jesus is ascending into heaven. And now it's up to you and me, as it was up to his followers back in the day when he ascended for the first time. It's up to you and me to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the world. How do we do this? We do this by letting the Holy Spirit work through us. That's really what it comes down to. So you and I, we're not capable of doing this on our own. And that's why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. That's why when you look at the Ascension and Pentecost, these two solemnities, they go hand in hand. Jesus ascended into heaven. That's the first step. But then he said, before he did that, he said, I'm going to leave you, but don't worry. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit to help you. And that's what we have to remember. By ourselves, we're not going to be able to be effective spreading the gospel message. We just don't have what it takes. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, it becomes a whole different story. Let's look at the first reading, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. In the first book, Theophilus, I dealt with all that Jesus did and taught until the day he was taken up, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. Now remember, Luke is the author of the Acts of the Apostles. Luke is also the author of the Gospel according to Luke. So he's talking about his first book. He's referring to the Gospel, his Gospel, the Gospel of Luke. Jesus presented himself alive to them by many proofs after he suffered, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While meeting with them, he enjoined them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father about which you have heard me speak. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. When they had gathered together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He answered them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has established by his own authority, but you will receive power. Did you hear that? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, through Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him from their sight. While they were looking intently at the sky, as he was going, suddenly two men dressed in white garments stood beside them. They said, Men of Galilee, why are you standing there looking up at the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will return in the same way as you have seen him going into heaven. I want to point out one thing as I was reading this, and I have written about this in the past in my book, Let Go of Anger and Stress, where I talk about the fruits of the Holy Spirit. This idea of, let's see where it is. Now I lost my place. I can't believe it. There it is. Jesus is saying, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The Acts of the Apostles are written in Greek, and the Greek word that is used, it was originally used for power, the word translated into English as power, it's a word, the word is actually dunamis, which is the root of the English word dynamite. So the power that Jesus is speaking of and that Luke writes about in the Acts of the Apostles is an explosive power. I don't want you to think of the Holy Spirit as some sort of a wimpy bird or vague fire or some invisible breeze. You know, typically the Holy Spirit gets shortchanged when we come up with these descriptions. The Holy Spirit is power. And when you receive that Holy Spirit for the first time at baptism and then at confirmation, that reception of the Holy Spirit is completed. So you have power in you and I have power in me to be able to go out and continue the work of Jesus. Sometimes we just need to know that. You know what I mean? Because otherwise we think, oh, I can't do this. I'm not going to be convincing. Yes, you will not be convincing. Neither will I. But the Holy Spirit working through us can touch souls and open them up to be receptive to the message of Jesus. That's why I always pray to the Holy Spirit at the start of this show. Because I know on my own I can't pull this off. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, many hearts can be changed. And that's what I'm hoping for. Psalm 47 is the responsorial psalm. God mounts his throne to shouts of joy, a blare of trumpets for the Lord. And remember, these are the readings for the ascension. So that's what you're going to hear a lot of this ascension into heaven theme intertwined in these readings. All you peoples, clap your hands. Shout to God with cries of gladness. For the Lord, the Most High, the Awesome, is the great King over all the earth. God mounts his throne amid shouts of joy. The Lord, amid trumpet blasts, sing praise to God, sing praise. Sing praise to our King, sing praise. For King of all the earth is God, sing hymns of praise. God reigns over the nations. God sits upon his holy throne. God mounts his throne to shouts of joy, a blare of trumpets for the Lord. Now remember, the fact that Jesus is ascending into heaven, that's not the whole story. He's ascending into heaven where he will sit on his throne in heaven, but he also is sending the Holy Spirit. You know, it's not like he's just leaving and saying, all right, everybody, you take care of it now. You continue my work. Good luck. No, he's giving us his Spirit to help us. All right, now we have several options for the second reading for the Solemnity of the Ascension. I'm just going to choose the first one. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 23. Brothers and sisters, may the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation resulting in knowledge of him. See, this is that foreshadowing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to help us to get to know the Lord. May the eyes of your hearts be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope that belongs to his call, what are the riches of glory in his inheritance among the holy ones, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power for us who believe, in accord with the exercise of his great might, which he worked in Christ, raising him from the dead and seating him at his right hand in the heavens, far above every principality, authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things beneath his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. So this is, you know, we get this imagery of Jesus ascending into heaven, where he sits on his heavenly throne. You know, on earth, especially when you looked at him, you think about him being crucified, it's difficult to view Jesus as a king because he's a king who reigned from a cross. He's a king who was persecuted. He's a king who appeared to be defeated and put to death, but in reality, he was just exercising his authority as Messiah, as God, and doing what he came here to do, redeem the human race, redeem all mankind, open the gates of heaven, which had been closed because of original sin. But now the imagery shifts, and now he can't be put to death anymore because he ascended into heaven and he is in a glorified state. He no longer walks the face of the earth. And that's where this gets a little mysterious and hard to understand. But you and I, as members of the mystical body of Christ, which we heard a reference to in that last reading, we are called to carry on the work of Jesus. And we do that with the help of the Holy Spirit. You know, I think too many times we overlook the power of the Spirit and what we can do with the Spirit. We can literally be transformed into Jesus. Now, I mean, I'm not saying we're going to be divinized or become divine on this earth, but what I'm saying is that we can be transformed or molded into the image of Jesus so that with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can think, speak, and act as Jesus did, you know? So, good stuff. Speaking more about the Holy Spirit today than I am about the Ascension, but it's important to look forward to what's coming because then the Ascension makes sense. If we don't look to the future coming of the Holy Spirit, then we can get freaked out by the thought that, oh my gosh, Jesus isn't in heaven. He's in heaven. We got to do this on our own. How's that going to work? But no, we have to focus on the Holy Spirit. Okay, so as I said, I want to look at the gospel for the seventh Sunday of Easter, just in case in your particular diocese, this is the mass that you'll be celebrating this Sunday. So the gospel for the seventh Sunday of Easter is John 17, verses 20 through 26. lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus prayed, saying, Holy Father, I pray not only for them, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, so that they may be all in one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be brought to perfection as one, that the world may know that you sent me and that you loved them even as you loved me. Father, they are your gift to me. This is some good stuff. You know, this is what it's known as Jesus, the farewell discourse of Jesus prior to his, when he's taken into captivity and ultimately put to death on a cross. He's speaking right now. We're sort of eavesdropping as Jesus communicates with his Father. And he's talking about you and I, we're gifts to Jesus. You know, we were created and now we are considered a gift. That's how special we are to Jesus. You know, I had a priest one time in confession. He told me this several times, and it's a really good point. I think I was confessing that I was struggling to be kind to somebody or to certain people who I just didn't like. And he took me to this verse and mentioned that if Jesus considered this person who I was struggling with, who I didn't really want to be kind to, as a gift to him, who am I to be angry at this person? You know, he views us all as a gift. And that is an incredible point, right? When you think about it, if Jesus looks at you and me as a gift to him, how should we look at one another? It really helps put it into perspective. Father, they are your gift to me. I wish that where I am, they also may be with me, that they may see my glory that you gave me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world also does not know you, but I know you, and they know that you sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will make it known that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. You know, there's a lot more to this discourse. Jesus talking to his apostles as well as the Father. And it's really important to understand that Jesus is very much in love with each one of us. We don't have to love him back, but that's what he's hoping for. And that's what he wants us to do. And he even gives us the love. He talks about the love that he implants in our souls. That's from the Holy Spirit. It's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, love. The love with which the Father loves Jesus, and Jesus, the Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father. That kind of unconditional love is planted in us by the Holy Spirit. So with the help of the Holy Spirit, you know, I talked about that power earlier. You and I can love one another with an unconditional love. And of course, love God and Jesus in the same way. Doesn't mean we always do it, but the potential is there. You know, I might not be able to forgive someone who has wronged me, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, it is possible to do that. So here's what I'm going to do. I only have a couple minutes left. As I said, I only wanted to read the gospel for the seventh Sunday of Easter. I'm not going to do the other readings. But the whole thing, these readings for the ascension of the Lord into heaven, as well as the readings for the seventh Sunday of Easter, they all remind us of the fact that once Jesus ascended into heaven, he prepared a place for us. He wants us to be with him. We just heard that in the gospel for the seventh Sunday of Easter. He wants us to be with him. He wants us to be in heaven, and he gives us his Spirit in order that we can make it one day, because I can't get to heaven without the grace given to me by the Lord, and that we can help others to get to know him so that they can also be recipient of that grace and be able to make it to heaven. He wants all of us to be in heaven with him. And that's because he loves us. So over the next couple of weeks, you know, we'll focus on the ascension. We'll focus on getting ready for Pentecost. And then next Sunday, we will talk about, next week, we will discuss the readings for Pentecost Sunday. And I'll say it when we do those readings, but we certainly don't want to view that coming of the Holy Spirit 2,000 years ago as something that's just a one-and-done event. We want to really tap into that power of the Holy Spirit and invite the Holy Spirit to come alive in us so that you and I can do the work that Jesus wants us to do, so that we can continue his work in the world. Now, the Holy Spirit's not going to force his way into our lives. The Holy Spirit will not make us do anything. But the Holy Spirit can empower us if we give him permission to do so. Okay, does that sound good? Well, I got it all in. I got in everything I wanted to get in. If you have any questions, please let me know. Gary@followingthetruth.com. Or you can go directly to my website, followingthetruth.com, and contact me through the website. Please remember that I'm always on the, I'm always interested in and very much in need of donations to keep my ministry going. If you believe in the work that I do and you'd like to help it continue, I'd be very grateful if you went to followingthetruth.com and made a secure online donation. Again, that's followingthetruth.com. Don't forget about my email reflection. I send a daily email reflection. If you'd like to sign up for that, it's totally free of charge. You can do that at followingthetruth.com as well. So remember, we get ready. The Lord is ascending into heaven, but he's still with us. He's with us through the power of the Holy Spirit, plus also the Eucharist. You know, he left his real presence in the Eucharist. And this can get a little deep sometimes when we try to wrap our brains around these divine mysteries. It's difficult. We don't have to comprehend them. We just have to understand that that's the way it works. You know, don't beat yourself up if you can't figure it all out. We're not supposed to be able to figure it all out. I don't need to know the inner workings of a car in order to drive it, right? That's the way it is with our faith. We can choose to believe. God bless you. Have a great week and look forward to joining you next time. Bye-bye now.